I'll get the recording going.
Se está acabando la voz.
The recording happens almost immediately. It's pretty amazing.
Welcome back, Steve. Nice to see you again.
Thank you.
I was watching something. I can't watch the evening news at the moment. I just can't. So I go to YouTube and choose something at random. And the random thing that popped up was a ferry journey between Denmark and Iceland. Much better than the coronavirus.
That's much better than the news.
And you can always pop into Webheads. That'll cheer you up.
I knew this was happening later.
I've just been watching a train travel from the south of Norway to the polar circle.
Hi, Suze.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, and you?
Fine, thank you.
Who is speaking?
Suze.
This is Rita from Argentina.
Oh, Rita. Ah, Rita, sorry.
Can we see you?
We can hear you.
Hi, Rita. There's Rita. I see her. I don't see. There she is. Hi, Rita.
There you are.
Oh.
Hi, Rita.
Hello.
More people are arriving. Elaine is arriving. This is just a party. Sadat is arriving. I was just in Sadat's chat a moment ago. He was teaching a class and he asked me to come and talk about Webheads. And speaking of that, as long as I'm actually able to talk here, wonderful. Let me tell you where we are. This is Webheads in Action, one of our regular weekly meetings that have just started again, and sort of running this through the auspice of something I call TALIN, Teaching and Learning in Isolation. I'll put a link up there in a little bit or impose a screen share or something. But basically, it's just an informal group that Michael actually suggested, because being a webhead and liking to chat, and that's how we got to know each other. We used to do this with students in 1998. Eventually, that evolved into Webheads in Action, which was an EVO, Electronic Village Online group, and that was in 2002. So at that time, we met for probably about 5-10 years, something like that, regular meetings, and in 2010, I started something called Learning Together, and I've been sort of doing my meetings just in Learning Together. They start happening on Sundays. They started happening just about any time. And but anyway, so this is a Learning Together event as well. Anything I do online is a Learning Together event if I record it and host it. And this is Learning Together event or episode number 446. Okay, so 446 of them since 2010, and shooting for 500. And this is the sixth of April, 2020. And I always like to say that for posterity, in case anybody comes upon this recording in a time capsule or something, and they want to know where did it happen. Okay, so anyway, here we are. So we're all in isolation, I suppose. Anybody getting out and having fun?
From tomorrow, they're going to invoke it in Japan, it seems.
Ah, okay. Yeah, and it's just starting to get a bit, but up till now, you've just been out wandering around and...
No, but I've been going out to local restaurants and going to my club and swimming, which I won't be able to do now.
Yeah, yeah. They've chained off our swimming pool.
It's hard to replace.
Before we get too involved in anything, I have one topic I'd like to bring up sometime during the session, and that is, some of you might have seen it, a posting about what various universities, what sort of problems various universities are encountering. Due to suddenly having to teach online. Has anyone seen that posting? I put it on the TESOL call interest section. I can share it with you on a screen here if you want, but it doesn't have to be right now. Vance, you're in control, or Michael.
You're in control. You have a screen share option.
Well, that's true, but I don't want to force myself upon you if you got other stuff you want to do.
Well, let's see who's here. Let's see. Lorena is here. She's to my... Lorena, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi. Well, I'm connecting from London, from South London, Battersea. Well, we have a lovely sunny day today. It's helping a lot, the weather, actually. We're having a really nice at the moment. So I don't think people feel so claustrophobic indoors. We have gardens. We're allowed to go to our allotments. So that's allowed, which has been amazing. So, I mean, for me, the quality of life is better than the usual London life, which is pollution and crazy. So I think we're slowing down. It's good for everyone. But of course, I'm from Madrid, and I have huge concerns over my family there and also people here. So the challenges are kind of in our minds. But physically, we can actually go out and be on the sunshine in our gardens. I'm very excited about many teachers considering online learning as a good option because they don't have any other choice. But I think it's very important that people rethink about technologies and how to use it for community and for supporting, cooperating, instead of education being so competitive in London. It's quite a monopoly in education with private schools. So I think there is hopefully it's going to be a rethink about all this. And I want to keep going and offering workshops online, so I'm switching everything online. So I'm quite busy at the moment, but quite, you know, it's a very interesting moment in history. I hear some people are thinking about the Spanish flu, you know, the things that people did at the time. And apparently it's called the Spanish flu because Spain was the only country where we were allowed, people, my grandparents were allowed to, it was not censored, the topic of the flu, whereas in Europe was. So there was the only place where newspapers could talk about it. And that was, which is called the Spanish flu anyway. But I'm reading about what they did at that time. And it's very much what we're doing at the moment. That's...
Okay.
So, Lorena, you're originally from Spain.
Everyone opens their chat because we don't have a hands-up routine in this tool, and it's very difficult to turn take. So if we use the chat session to say some of the things we would like to say, and we can address questions to people putting things in the text chat. But Tom, just to follow up your question about what universities are doing, I don't know whether it's useful, but it's certainly interesting. My son has just completed the first week of his life teaching online at a university. He lectures in architecture. And he's managing pretty well, but he said something really interesting last night. He said, administration needs to know that with all these people like him who are brand new to this realm and this way of teaching, there's no way we can achieve the same standards that we have achieved for the last several years. And is that being noted anywhere, that we can't possibly reach the same standard because everybody's new at this game?
Yeah, it seems like a no-brainer.
He's just concerned that it's not being talked about.
What the web heads have always known is that you can't count on the technology. You've always got to have another way to go, another plan. Or two or three.
And you can't do in your online class what you do in your physical class. It's a lot different. And another complaint I've been hearing lately is that, especially people who have more than one child in one house, competing for one computer, that sort of thing. And even if it's just one child, getting overwhelmed by all these teachers expecting to do this, that, and the other problem of no child gets ahead because people are complaining because people without access or what do you do about them? Do you slow everybody up, or do you? You know, anyway, that's a problem. Some people don't have access. So there's three little problems right there.
Shared this. Is this Tom?
Yes, there's information there on various countries on some of the issues that have been flagged.
Make sure you put, if you share something, make sure you put its URL in the text chat. So, because we'll have the accompanying text chat.
This may not have a URL. Looks like it's in mail.
It's yes.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. We'll take a screenshot. I saw Chris Fry taking a screenshot a moment ago.
Yes, that was a kind of screenshot.
Yeah, well, I guess it works. It's certainly not intrusive to take such a screenshot. Well, I don't know. I'm having trouble reading this. Maybe you could control plus and make it larger.
I guess this is about schools when I read about the UK, because at the university in the UK, people have been getting their lesson. I mean, the straight lectures online for ever such a long time. Over 5-6 years. So, I mean, it's just by someone at the university. I was very surprised. I'm trying to remember how long ago she had, as she went along, all her lectures added onto her site. So I don't think it's a, whereas here it's saying high levels of anxiety in staff and students.
I tried to make it a little larger, and I can post a URL later, but yeah, this is just from an email. There's the Philippines situation here, basically bandwidth and boring, long lectures on tape. Australia, 3 campuses, degrees offered in partnership with the public university. Again, bandwidth was the main problem. Kern's challenge is figuring out assessments and practical classes. They use Blackboard. Switzerland, priority has been for health and safety of students. Struggling to adapt more than students are. The staff is struggling to adapt more than the students are and have needed lots of support.
Is anybody surprised?
And then UK, one public university experiencing some very high levels of anxiety, both staff and students. Students have lost lots of part-time jobs. Counseling hotline added for students. Traditional lectures are way too long when online. Staff have realized that they need to split into 50-minute learning bites chunks. And then Macau have been teaching online for 2 months and now see that most will not return to face-to-face teaching for exams. Staff has been given clear directions on which online tools they can opt to use, so they don't have any choice. Oh, we wouldn't like that, would we?
Regarding Macau, my neighbor up the street teaches in Macau, and that explains why he's been home in the United States, because they're teaching online. His wife and daughter live here, and he lives in Macau.
So I'll get a URL from this. This was provided by someone at Sunway University in Malaysia. Okay, that's about all I have to say. I'll put a URL online after I manage to make one.
Well, I just saw Vicky's. She's teaching primary school at the moment, and I guess she was about to say that she's having some different issues. Do you want to elaborate?
Yeah, sure. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Vicky.
Essentially, I teach the whole of primary school. I'm a digital projects teacher. I work in collaboration with the classroom teachers to do online stuff. Suddenly we were thrown at the deep end. Well, not me, but most of the teachers, to try to convert all their teaching to online. So we were using a platform provided by Santillana, which we had already, but they weren't using much, so they had to learn really, really fast how to use it properly. And then we had the school decided that they wanted to have synchronous sessions at least once a week to help the children to create this classroom atmosphere, because the primary kids were feeling were really feeling it really hard being at home and not being able to see their classmates and the teachers and so on. So the teachers were receiving lots of messages about this. So the school decided to do at least a weekly Zoom meeting with the classes, which worked really well. But of course, for, let's say, year 1 to 3, 6 to 8 year olds, they cannot go onto their Zoom sessions on their own. So they're usually accompanied by their parents. So that means that the parents have to be free at that time. And that's really difficult because parents are mostly also working from home in this situation. So I think that for very young learners, the use of technology is a way, of course, but it has many other implications, especially their parents being with them while they access the technology most of the time.
And Vicky, you're in Argentina, right?
Yes, I'm in Buenos Aires.
Do the kids focus as they're supposed to on the lessons? Or
The first meeting was just a conversation with the teacher to find out how they were managing their lockdown and what they were doing, and a chance for them to speak and to say hello to the teachers and the other classmates. The second meeting already had some classroom teaching, if you want. So the teacher devised some ideas to do online. And so some of that happened. And today in the afternoon, we are having the next meeting. So I don't know what will happen. We'll see.
What kind of platform do you use, Vicky?
We are using Zoom, despite all the negative backlash in the last week.
Right, but just for the oral type of communication, what happens with the written part?
Well, we have a learning platform by Santillana Compartir. So all the written work is being shared through the platform, and the students are doing their tasks and handing that in through the platform. So all the written part is covered there. Of course, some oral tasks are also set through the platform, and students send recordings, for example, older students. But what we felt as a school is that we still needed some synchronous contact with the children to ground them. Yeah.
I see. Why haven't you chosen Google Classroom? Because you have to speak to Santillana.
Well, yes, we the school was already paying for Santillana.
Oh, so, I see.
And they had all their kids already enrolled in it, so it was much faster.
Right. Mm-hmm. It had already been done.
Yes.
I haven't seen Hala in such a long time, and I didn't even know where she is. Where are you, Hala?
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Hala.
Hi. Nice to see you. Mm-hmm.
Nina, Kili, Vance, Harita, Michael, Teresinha. How are you, Susan? I'm so happy to see that. How are you? Tom, Chris, how are you? I was so impressed by your experience, Lorena. How are you? Welcome to WebHacks. Hi, Aiden. Aiden, how are you? Yeah, Nuruddin, Assalamu alaikum, how are you?
Thank you so much. How are you doing?
Yeah, so happy to be here. I just need to share the school's experience with Vicky. My daughter.
Hala.
Where are you, Hala?
Are you in Sudan?
I'm in Bahrain.
Ah, in Bahrain. Okay.
I moved from Saudi Arabia to Bahrain. This is my 6th year now. I had to call my daughter, my 10 years old. She's a web head too, to show me how to move around Zoom. She's 9. She's not 10. She's pointing. So I'm teaching in Bahrain Teachers College, University of Bahrain. It's the only national university in Bahrain. I teach at the English department, teaching teachers, pre-service teachers. I don't have educational technology course as I used in Saudi Arabia, where I was the hero there. But I, as you all know, we cannot tempt. It's very tempting to use technology everywhere. So, and this is what I'm doing. But we're not using Zoom at the university. We're using Teams, Microsoft. We completely instructed not to use WhatsApp, any other learning management system, but Teams. I think they paid for that, so they want to use it. Some of the faculties use Blackboard, but for our faculty, we use mainly Teams and all the apps in Teams. But that's another experience. I would like just to share the school's experience with Vicky. Maybe she will find it helpful. The closure started in Bahrain 2 months. So we were one of the first countries in the Arab region to stop schools and universities. So we had this period of the 10 days, almost exactly 14 days, 2 weeks, not knowing what to do. But thankfully, the schools started to do this very powerfully. For example, my daughter's school, after 2 weeks, they sent a schedule for classes using Zoom and Google Classroom. So they put everything on Google Classroom, and for the synchronous meeting, they use Zoom. They have the IDs. 5 days ago, they started to add passwords because of the security issue with Zoom. So they sent us the schedule, each class with IDs and password. All the students need to do is to copy, paste, and join the meeting. After the meeting, all the assignments are put in Google Classroom. They gave the students 1 week to submit all assignments and requirements so they can use that for writing a school report, because we don't have final exam now. Final exam have been canceled. So, and they count the attendance. And the synchronous meeting, actually my daughter enjoys this, and they do have even classes for PE. I like that, yeah. And today they are, she's doing, she's crafting a fish now using color papers, because they have arts class today. So all the classes now they have synchronous meetings, and she finds that very, very useful. And it's very good even for, you know, the sleeping time. So she wakes up early, have breakfast, and start preparing for the classes with the schedule beside her. I think this is useful for, and the feedback from the parents is very positive.
Yes, I think that keeping a routine is very important. But as I said, sometimes that clashes with small households and only one computer available and parents working from home. So it depends a lot on the particular situations of families.
Yeah, we had to borrow a laptop because I didn't have the budget to buy one.
Yeah, exactly.
What I find is happening here in France is that the teachers are actually finding their feet on the amount of work they can ask. I'm talking about secondary school and also the primary school teachers. They have an in-house online platform, and at first all of the teachers were giving the normal amount of work they would do in class, and everyone said, you know, this doesn't work. So now they're taking it down. It's not online teaching, but it's online communication with the program.
Why do you think you can get less done all online? Because you don't have all the other stuff that's involved with going to school. So I believe that it's true. I'm not surprised, but I'm wondering why that would be.
Well, that is actually the point of view of the teachers, because there is such a variety of students. And I don't know why individually the students are doing less. I have one of my families is entirely homeschooled and has always been homeschooled. And it's true that they get through the schoolwork. They did no schoolwork before they wanted to do exams. And then they said, okay, I want to do that exam. And woof, they did the work in 1 year instead of three. It was amazing, amazing. But yeah, anyway, okay.
I suppose that it depends on the learner. It depends on the home situation. It depends on a lot.
Many people for one computer.
Right.
I think there should be a change of paradigm, change of the way that, you know, school is not home, and this is not home education. We've been home educating for 3 years. This is not our reality. And I think there are a lot of experienced home educators that can bring a lot of information and through to teachers. And I think that's important that teachers can listen and follow. There is a very good podcast that is going to start from Ken Robinson. He's starting this to help families cope with this new situation, because really it's more to deal with the well-being of the children than any other subject or academic learner. So if the children are happy, well, and they're not scared, well, I think that's the learning. And I think at home, I mean, this is not the school, and you should not bring the teaching and happiness in the school to a home or online learning, because actually a six-year-old child is learning better, you know, by just food or eat healthily or keep, you know, active, just helping, you know, to make a recipe, to measure his maths as well. So we need to change the paradigm. We cannot bring, like, you know, 9 to 10 months, and I think that would be a shame. And can you hear me? I think there's a lot going on. So I think it's important to listen to people that for any reasons have decided to home educate. Education have different approaches, and it's not one way, you know, one only way for all. The first difference for me, school-based teacher and teaching Spanish in primary schools, I didn't know the names of the children. There were so many, and how every half an hour I have to change classroom. Now I wouldn't imagine to do that now online. So that's why I'm doing all the projects, and I've been quite for a long time doing this, because I'm fascinated about the information and the creativity, the amount of approaches as types of families, the types of approaches and as types of children. And I see children really young, from 6, 7 years old, self-managing their learning. And it's amazing. It's what I used to do when I finished university. And I think we should trust a little bit the young people to decide what they're interested in, and then to assist learning instead of impose a curriculum. And the good thing about the UK is that children are not at the school. It's up to the parents to decide if they follow a fixed curriculum or not. I mean, that would be a shame, because to have to follow the curriculum and to do classroom at home, that's like a prison, to be honest. That's unfair to a six-year-old. You know, they are not in a school. So why don't you either take a long holiday and enjoy being outdoors in your garden, doing plants, put water in the plants. I mean, just feel good. And I think that's already a learning. You know, well-being is a really important skill to have in life. And things that you would not do at the school. You know, be creative as a teacher. And really follow the blogs from any schoolers. I mean, as much as you don't agree with that approach, just listen to some of the things they do. Or if you really consider flex schooling might be also a good option for some children. The reality we have in the schools is secondary, which is what I was supporting when 4 years ago, is that there's a huge crisis in mental health in young people. And that was before the coronavirus started, right? And that's due to the exam system. So we have this now, where there are no exams, people are feeling much better because of that, young people. So, you know, that's not there. And since I don't prepare exams, I found myself without having clients. So people want to just have Spanish lessons for the test, but now you take the assessment test away, they no longer want to learn the language. So the last 3 years, I've been meeting people working in democratic schools, in all sorts of personalized learning, where actually the child's voice is heard. And I think that's very important, because when you listen to the child, then they're really motivated. Could be in designing games, playing with Lego, cooking, creative writing, reading books. I mean, my own daughter, which she's never done a reading scheme in English, she reads all sorts of amazing books about dragons and legends. So, and I never taught her to read, but she can read. So it's things that they we don't trust. I mean, she only learned how to walk without teaching them. And I really generally think that if in a literate household where we can actually use technology, read, write, and they will learn alongside. So yes, I think teach less, I kind of assist the learning more. That's the approach I think from home. From us is working beautifully. So this is, the change is that we cannot go ice skating, which is our passion. So we kind of go to the ice rink for a little bit, and we're finding ways to keep fit. So we're doing a lot of yoga sessions, live yoga sessions online, and also ice skating off ice training. So we keep doing that side is more important than any academic learning at the moment. But yes, homeschoolers, which is a very specific approach as well, we do better academically with academic learning, that's for sure. So I think it's good, and it's not like forever. So children can go back to school whenever they want to, and then take maybe a year in home education if they're going to take more advantage of the you know, in London we have so many places to learn. And
I wonder if we can hear something from Suze about her students
have
to make their own personal schedule.
Yes, Celestine Frenet. This is someone had asked for more information about that in the text chat. Are you ready to tell us, Suze?
Yes. Wait a moment. Yeah, I'm not. You can hear me. Yes. You can hear me. For many years, I've been interested in a very special form of school called Freinet schools. And the idea is that children should learn from their own interest complex, and that they can actually make their own schedule. And I'm so lucky that my granddaughter, who is eight years old, she's now in a school like this, and she's doing amazingly well. She makes her own schedule day for day, and she knows what she wants to do. So she's busy all the time. And one important point is reading for the teddy bears, or making a theater for the teddy bears, or making, she can bake her own cakes and muffins, and she can dictate the recipes to me on telephone so I can write them down. I don't see her because she's far away from where I live, but we have lots of interesting and fun telephone talks, not on video, just voice talks. old-fashioned. She really, really enjoys not being in school for many reasons.
You said she designs her own learning her own plan?
And she knows that what she's doing. She knows what she needs, and she can sit now with an atlas to look at maps, and then half an hour later she will ask her mother, "Is it really true that there are cities with 11 million inhabitants?" Which means she's going into details with information on these maps, and she's only 8 years old. So I think it's very good. Of course, she need to go back to school, and it's a school where the little ones in from 6 years they are in one class, and then they are distributed into 3 classes where they are from grade 1 to grade 6, which means that she has classmates who are actually 13 years old, and I asked her after 14 days, What do you think about going to school with kids that are so old? This is just amazing, she said, with a broad smile, because she loves it. They are not limited to their own level. They can go ahead. And she is a fast little learner with a lot of imagination. She has many playmates among the bigger kids. It's very interesting to follow how she's dealing with that. I just bought her a sewing machine because she can sew. So now she can begin to sew at home her own interesting inventions, textile inventions.
That's fascinating. May I ask the name of the school? What the school?
My name.
Sorry? What's your question?
The name of the school?
I wrote it in the chat. It is a French school system almost 100 years ago. It was the story of a post-war veteran who came home and was sent to a remote village school in Provence, where everything was totally in disorder. There were many fathers and sons gone, and of course, after the first World War, everything was chaos. So he had to find new ways to make these children want to learn something. And what he discovered was that they really desire to learn. So you do not have to impose knowledge on them. You don't need to tell them exactly what they can do. They can make their own. They make their own books. They also read other books, but they do make their own books from very early on. He was very early to embrace technology. By the way, first of all, he's famous for having made little printing systems so that they could print before they could write their own letters. They could actually make a set of a line of printed types, so they could print their own books.
I'd like to ask because time is limited, and I'd like to balance this a little bit. Well, thank you very much. I'd like to hear from Carla, because we haven't heard from her in such a long time. She's in Brazil, where they're having, I don't know what situation is there, but I mean, I read the news. But anyway, uh-huh. She's director of a language school in Brasilia, the capital. Still, I suppose.
Not anymore, Vince. Okay. Not anymore.
Update me.
I left Casa Thomas Jefferson like 3 years ago, and now I have my own company.
Yes,
called Amplifica, which is Amplify in English. So, I've been running this business like for 3 years with a partner, Samara. And it's all about, technology, education and all that. But here in Brazil, the situation as all over the place is kind of scary. But a lot of work to do with, it seems that like the world has stopped so that everybody can learn about technology. That's my feeling. Mm-hmm. It's like, let's pause everything. Now everybody needs to do something about technology. Everything that you haven't learned before, that's the time. And I have this feeling. So everybody's looking for help, and many teachers are really desperate and, you know, trying to adapt. I think this is a general issue for everybody. But then one thing that I just want to mention here is a big project, national project that I am involved in, like through Amplifica, which is like taking our time here, whole time. We are working like 12, 14 hours a day to try to deliver this content. And the idea is that as teachers are not able to adapt so fast to online learning, what we are like, there is this big nonprofit foundation in Brazil called Lehman Foundation, which is huge here. So we are partners, and they hired us to, in fact, create content for the students. So we are going to reach the students through digital platforms and different ways, not just like the traditional ones, like, you know, Google Classroom and sites and all that, but also through the way that we communicate the most, through cell phones, mobile devices, and through WhatsApp and all that. So what we are doing now, we had a selection of teachers nationwide, Brazilian teachers, and we have specialists from first grade to ninth grade. And then we have like 2 weeks to prepare this content, but it's not like, they're not gonna have like classes with us. They're gonna have like learning experiences. And what we are doing is like, we are creating this system that we have like two different learning experiences a day for each level, for each age level. And we are going to make it available to all districts, like education districts in Brazil, and all, and it's not just the district. So if there is a school that doesn't have the support from the district, the school can request this content. And also if the teacher is alone, the teacher can also request this content, and we are going to replicate it through Google Classroom and Google Sites, so that it makes like really accessible in many different ways. So that's the news, and this is something we are working hard and very proud of, because I think we are gonna have like a great reach. And the idea is also, through this content, we can also help teachers develop professionally, because we are gonna have like a kit for them, and also help them understand how they can build these capsules of learning through this whole experience. That's the idea.
Great, Carla. Impressive. Congratulations on starting your own company.
Yeah.
Yeah, that scary, sounds but impactful. Yeah. Sounds like a big project.
It is.
And you're the right person to do that.
Wow.
I have a question, Carla. Yes. Is it for all the subjects?
Yes. Yes. So we have we have to select. It is totally insane to do that, because what we did is we had a nationwide selection of teachers in 24 hours, and we had 2,000 applicants there. And we had a whole system to select them. We developed, like, some time ago, we developed what we call a digital fluency index, that we did that, like, at Amplifica. And then we used that to select the teachers, as well as their portfolios and all that. So now we are working with an academic coordination plus around 30 teachers for all subjects.
Oh, come on, what's in your digital fluency index? What sort of things are you looking at to decide?
Hey, Elizabeth, yes. We created something going like five levels of digital fluency. It is still in Portuguese, but it's something I could really translate it to English. And we go from like a very basic things that they can do with the computer up to what we call flow, where the teacher really do what we do here, like sharing, participating in conferences, presenting conferences. So there are all these, we created like some rubrics, and then the teacher decides where he is or where she is. And it's really interesting, and it has been helpful in this situation because we didn't have the time to teach technology for those specialists. So we needed two things. We needed teachers who were specialists in content and technology so that we could really go fast, because we have 2 weeks to deliver the whole package.
Hi, Carla. How are you?
Hey, Hala.
Yeah, how are you? This is very interesting, and hopefully one day I can do that when I go back home to Sudan, so I can invite you, send you the ticket to come as a consultant. But I think what you're saying is easier than you have technology experts, but they're not teachers. I think the bottom line of this online learning is the problem is the misconception of, wow, I'm using Zoom, I know how to use this, I'm an expert in this technology. It's not about the technology. It's really a tool. It's about the pedagogy and how do we implement all what we know in an online, whether synchronously or asynchronously. So the problem is that this is the culture here. They think it's about the tool. It's not about the tool. So what you're doing is, it reminds me of Open University. You know how the Open University started? So I think this is very interesting, and I hope it will be fruitful.
Yes, in fact, there is something about, and it's for us, it's really not about the technology. We just needed these teachers to be like a tech savvy, because we are working like collaboratively, and they need to know the tools even to help students to get there. And the point is that what we are thinking is really online activities, no, learning activities that they do offline. So we need to deliver that online in different formats. So it's gonna be in Google Classroom, Google Sites, PDFs, so that it can be really widely distributed. But at the same time, we need to guarantee that even the students, for example, in the Amazon region, that they don't have a connection, that they can really get this package and they can work it like everything offline. So what we are trying to do here, we are going to have even the activities, they are like, we have like some icons that we have for offline and online activities if you have access to technology. That's the idea.
Okay, thank you. I think, let's see, Nuruddin wants to ask a question to Carla. Can we have that? And then I want to speak to Lane. If I can, I have an announcement about Lane. She's giving a webinar shortly. Susan has asked to say something about her university. So those events are on the schedule. So if you want to say something in particular, put it in the text chat and we'll try to work it in. So Nuruddin, did you want to ask Carla a question?
Yeah. Thank you, Vance. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody. And I really enjoyed to attend this webinar, this meeting. I just would like to ask Carla, if possible, to tell me how can we as teachers from other countries benefit from the program she's now taking.
Yes, I think one thing that we are really worried, and we are doing this like as part of the project, is registering all the process, because it's huge in terms of even logistics. Like we had to create a small framework for teachers so that they could start working on it. So we created a framework with five verbs that, well, it's kind of complicated to explain it here, but I can share like the the spreadsheets that we created, because for example, the framework with the verbs, we are going to work with the UNESCO sustainable goals. So this is one thing. What we did was we got those goals and divided. We have 8 weeks of content for students. So we got like two goals and created themes. So for each week they have themes. And then from there, we had to create those verbs to help teachers to design their learning experiences for students. So we have like verbs such as make, observe, explore, connect. And then we separated that for each teacher. So we get together every day with them and then we prepare the weeks. Like everyone gets one verb so that this is the focus of their learning experience. So these kinds of things we can really share. I hope I have time to write soon about it in English, or maybe even like in social media, I could start writing in Portuguese and in English to help you out. And then if you want, I could share the spreadsheet so that you understand what we are doing, because it's like a very not complex, but it's really, we need to really plan things with a framework for the teachers, yes? And the group is incredible, like the academic coordination there.
Thank you, Carla. Thank you so much.
Okay, so I just put a link in the text chat to Talon, which is tinyurl.com/Talon2020. And the reason I'm doing that now, two reasons. One reason is that Carla, or anybody here who has, obviously there's a lot of expertise here, and we're just kind of brainstorming right now. But if you want to share more with us, you can request access to that document and then write in on the schedule what you want to do and the date you want to do it. Because we're actually trying to, well, if you go and visit it, you can see that this is on the schedule and there are other things coming up. That's one thing. And then something that's coming up is Lane is giving a talk. She's put herself on the schedule for April 14th on SOFLA. Lane, please tell us what you're going to talk about.
Okay, so I've been giving this this webinar to my local TESOL, New York State TESOL. We have a crowdsource, I guess you'd call it, Google Doc, where everybody, all the membership, could just put the title of what they wanted to share and create a link in Zoom. And there are tons of webinars. It's all us volunteering to do it. And it kind of exploded, like tons of people decided to volunteer. And so I volunteered also to do mine, and they suggested to give them more than once. So I've already given this one twice. So I thought, why not give it again for you guys? You know,
right,
why
good.
Give it to New York State members, you know? So I'll give it. It's what I do is I do flipped learning. Many of you know, I've always talked about that now for the last several years, 8 or 10 or whatever. But I insist on the synchronous piece because I think it really, like we're doing right now, I mean, it's just priceless to have a synchronous piece. And people have a lot of pushback. They don't want to do that. They say the whole point of online is you don't have to be there at a certain time and all this. But I developed a model called SOFLA. It's synchronous. It's just an acronym, but it's Synchronous Online Flipped Learning Approach. So, but I have 8 steps, and I'll be going through the 8 steps and why each step is important, and what are the caveats for each step. And, you know, you can watch the recording if you can't come to it. And I think you'll enjoy it. For this audience, I think that a lot of it will be very familiar, except perhaps maybe just the way I kind of package it and a rationale that you might want to turnkey for other people. You know, but I think, you know, I don't talk that much about tools. I'm really focused less on that than on the rationale for the way the thing works. But there's one tool that I do talk about, which I love, which is PlayPosit. And I don't know who uses it. but anybody use PlayPosit? So PlayPosit, there's a, the free version's pretty good, and the paid version isn't that costly.
Look.
PlayPosit, P-L-A-Y, PlayPosit. And you can you record your lesson, and then you embed interactions in it. You can embed video, audio, questions, anything you want to embed. And I'll be demonstrating that as part of the presentation. I think that that's enough. I said enough. The only other thing I'd like to add is my university, can I say one thing quick about that? Is that I happen to work at a campus where there are a lot of old style, walk in the room, lecture, give an exam, you know, and they don't know what to do. So I'm their guide, and they send me lecture notes to post, or they talk into my my cell phone, and I record onto my computer their little lectures, and I'm kind of running their courses for them. And it's a little sad. It makes me sad because they're wonderful professors, but they have no idea how to do anything online, and they just never did. And it's sad because they're brilliant. You know, they're brilliant in their field. And I never really thought about it that way, that people in that situation are kind of caught right now. That's all I want to say.
Okay. Susan asked to say something about developments at her university in Iran. And if anybody has anything else they'd like to say, make a request in the text chat, because I've probably missed it already. So if otherwise, we'll probably be ending soon, because we have dinner to eat here, and some people have breakfast waiting. Some people probably have lunch.
You guys hear me?
Yes, we can. Hi, Susan.
Okay. All right. I'll be brief. First of all, hi again, everybody. It's nice to see you. I just wanted to share some good news I had about my university because, well, some of you know that I was the first person to get call started in Iran. After I had classes with Christine Bauer Amazoni, she was my first call teacher. And then I was introduced to the webs and EVO. And so anyway, I was the first person to introduce call to Iranian universities. And 13 years ago, we had the first call classes at my university, Azahar University. Then first at PhD level, a few years after that at MA level. But that was just like a single course. And I'm happy to announce that I've been doing my best to educate lots of other people so that it would be continued in different parts of the country, and to make sure that, you know, it's followed up by other people. And recently we have got the approval of the Ministry of Higher Education for a master's degree in KOL in Iran. So hopefully from next year, with the help of some of my graduate students, my previous students who have graduated, and some of my colleagues, we're going to be starting the master's degree of KOL in Iran at my university, Azhar University. That's all I wanted to share. And it's all down to you guys. So thank you all very much for teaching me everything. And this is, you know, the result of your work. I'm being called the mother of KOL in Iran. It's all because of first Christine, wow, and then you guys. So thank you.
Congrats,
thank
Susan.
You very much.
Thank you.
Great.
And when I see Susan at conferences, she brings her students a lot and pays back the learning. We learn from those people as well. They're doing some phenomenal work there.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Anyone who hasn't spoken would like to say hi. There's Helping North down there. Paula from Argentina, and Aiden. Saw you with Sadat, who's left by now. Saw you. She popped in over there. Yeah. Hi, Paula. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Very nice to see you. Mm-hmm. And okay, to learn about what's going on around the world.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Anne, we were talking with in EVO just recently. She popped into the Best of EVO. That's also archived at Tallinn if you want to go there and learn it together. And Aiden, anything from you? You had to...
Nothing.
earth-shattering.
Well, I said some of those things already last week, but I would just like to say hi. Hi to Carla. Nice to see you. And all the new folks who just dropped by this evening. Vicky, so nice to see you. It's about, I just had dinner. It's 9 p.m. My time. So cheers, everybody.
Good for you. Cheers.
That's all I have to say.
Okay,
to
we'll come back. And also, if you have anything you'd really like to share, just pop it into the Talon site, because I'm hosting anything that goes in there. I'll make a Learning Together session out of it. And people have a lot of time on their hands when they're not developing online courses for all their students. And there was Claire, and we saw Mark a moment ago, but he just popped in for a cameo. You have to unmute if you're going to say anything.
Yeah, he's very busy these days showing faculty how to teach online. Using Zoom, actually.
Okay. And Chris Fry down there, we're looking forward to seeing your screenshots from Barcelona.
Uh-oh. He doesn't know where he is anymore.
There he is. Okay.
My screen was just of how the chat on an iPad occupies the whole screen and makes it unusable. Hence using my mobile phone. Obviously I appear twice participants. So I'm using my mobile phone to follow the chat and participate in that, and keeping my iPad for the visual side. And it seems to work pretty well.
Yes. Okay. There you go. Multitasking, multi-devicing, multi-literate. Yeah. So, okay, Michael. Oh, Teresa, we didn't hear from Teresa.
Nothing new here. Just saying hello, everyone. And it's great to have these chats again 18 years later. I joined the Webheads in January 2002. I mean, 22. And it's just fabulous to be back with old friends, but young at heart, right?
that makes you a charter webhead today.
Yeah, she is.
Teresa, I was just thinking that it was 20 years ago that you came and visited us.
It was.
It's been 20 years, 2000,
Fantastic. Yeah, I was there for 3 weeks, right?
Right.
I think it was 3 weeks at your house.
And your mother said you were crazy. You're going to go to the United States and stay with somebody you met on the internet?
Yeah, it's true. When were you once here in Buenos Aires? When was that?
2010.
Oh, that's 10 years ago already.
And Michael was there. And
yes,
Carla. We met Carla there. Let's see, Ann Fox, we still don't have your voice. Go ahead and do an outro for us.
I haven't really anything to say, except it's lovely to see everybody. And I still do the Absolutely Intercultural podcast. So if anybody has any interesting notes from the field that they think would make a good topic for the podcast, then I'm all ears. Just get in touch with me and I'd be very happy.
Put the link in the text chat.
Okay.
Yeah, because everything that goes in the text chat gets put on the web.
Absolutely Intercultural. Not over there. Yeah.
And Michael, you want to take us out of here?
I'm not quite sure what you mean by that.
Well, either that or play us a song.
No, we can't do that again. We'd get sick of it.
Well, there's another song.
I promise I won't dance this time.
It's lovely to see you all. It's been just interesting to hear what everybody's doing. I'm doing very little in the way of kind of proper work, or let's call it work. It's got to do with education these days. I'm doing lots of other things. So I don't have a lot to input into the sorts of things that have been talked about for the last hour, but it's just nice to have a group of people together again and listen, to be honest, just have another hour in the day which I don't have to think about what am I going to do now. I mean, I'm not the kind of person who gets bored, but because I'm at home all of a sudden all day long, and I typically travel at least every few weeks somewhere, that's all you know, off the books. And so I just have to concentrate on the moment and be at home. And thank you for helping me get through another day. And I actually have adopted a little bit of the Alcoholics Anonymous mantra. It's one day at a time. Mm-hmm. Because I think any further than that is just quite distressing. So my goal is to get up in the morning and make sure I achieve a few things before I go to bed that night. And it's almost that time for me now. And tomorrow we'll start again. But yeah, it's one day at a time. But look,
what happens a week from now?
Sorry?
A week from now. Think of that far ahead. What happens a week from now?
Well, we'll meet again. Another date, but I'm not strictly kind of living.
The 13th.
Back today.
Yeah, 13th.
But we might move it back to Sunday, didn't we?
The week after, because V pointed out that next Sunday is Easter, so we thought we might not get people there. So we'll do it next Monday, and then probably move it to Sunday. What do you think about that? Is it okay for everybody? Does anybody's Monday much better for some people, or is it the same?
If it's the every same, day is the same in retirement.
There you go, retirement, COVID-19.
Every day is Sunday.
Yeah, there you are. I don't even know what day it is. At least you know it's Sunday. So
yeah, the problem is not knowing. You miss stuff because you don't realize, oh, that was today. Really?
So Sunday or Monday doesn't matter. I'm gathering.
Yeah, that's okay with me. But anyway.
I know what day it is because of my pillbox.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
well, I'd like to invite Michael or anybody who will be available on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, 11 UTC, I think. That's about 7 p.m. my time. Or 8, let's make it 12 UTC. That's about 8 p.m. my time. I will be teaching a very small group of English learners. They're actually our national athletes. They're runners, so they represent Taiwan for the Olympics. And the topic this coming Wednesday, it's about how they feel now that the Olympics has been canceled. Mm-hmm. So anyone who would like to join, I wasn't really planning of asking them to chat online, but I just thought of that now. So if you're free, Michael, on Wednesday, pop in just to say hi. I haven't even created a Zoom room for that, but that can easily be done. You know, just say hi, hello, and ask them how they feel, now that the Olympics has been canceled. Because they've been training really, really hard. So it's really a bit upsetting. Yeah, it's only if you're free, or anyone of you who will be free on Wednesday. This coming.
Maybe you can share later by mail, yes.
Say again? Or
maybe you can share the information by the email so that we can schedule it.
Another possibility would be to go to that tiny URL.
Yeah.
Request access on that doc. Did you?
Right.
Yeah, if you write in the information for the 11th, then it will be there. I'll then enter it into Learning Together. And I would host it for you if you wanted, but
if you're not doing anything, probably just about 30 minutes. So I'll probably do, an hour and a half, the usual class. And then we'll spend about 30 minutes or so just to ask them, and, they get to practice what they've learned.
Okay. By the way, this is the EVO 2020 Zoom, and I've set one up for Tallinn. So it'll be in the Tallinn room on the on Wednesday. But anyway, if you start the entry for the 11th, then I'll fill it in. And yeah, it'd be really nice to host you.
I'll do it. Yeah.
Okay, great. All right. So that's how that works, folks. If you got something you want to meet people, that's what we're doing this month. It's
I have a request to Mike. Can I?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you all to write in the chat your country and city, please? So to keep record, I'd like to share this with my trainee teachers at Teacher Training College, and it will be very interesting to have that information as well. Thank you. Well,
yeah, just now letting Heike into the chat room. I don't know how long she's been there. I've been trying to keep on top of that, but as we pulled to the top of the hour, I stopped looking over there.
Yeah.
Heike, hi, you have to write your city and your country in.
I know. Yes. Okay, thank you so much.
And we have, for the record, we have, well, 21 participants in the room right now, but we had about 23, 25, somewhere in there.
Right, yes, there were other people.
Maybe 27. I don't know. Anyway, I've been taking some screenshots. Heike from Heidelberg. Okay.
Yeah, I'm starting with my teacher training group next week. So one of the topics I've been dealing with is communities of practice. And of course, Webheads is a great example.
Great. That's what Sadat was doing earlier today. He was teaching about Webheads.
Yeah, he was. I couldn't join him today.
Okay, Heike, if you'll pop into the, if you put a webcam up, I'll take a quick screenshot. There you go. All right. Okay, well, so everyone, goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye. Thanks, great buddy. Week.
Bye, guys. Lovely seeing
stay
you.
Healthy.
Have a good yes. Week.
Stay healthy.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I'm kind of like the guy behind the camera. Every time that happens, I'm never waving. You know, anyway. Okay. All right. So anyway, thank you, everybody. And I'm just going to capture this image. And
thank you,
guys. Yeah.
Bye, everybody. Thank Bye-bye. You. Great to see you all. Okay. Bye-bye.
See you guys next week.
Bye. See you again.
Yeah. Nice to see everybody. Okay. I'll turn off the recording. Bye-bye. Oh, I always hit the recording where it says recording. I always hit that. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Susan. Ah, okay. Here it is. Stopping the recording. Good night. April 6th, 2020. Talon teaching and learning in isolation and learning together, learningtogether.net. And that's how we're spending our time in isolation. Bye-bye.